A terrific Thursday morning to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening and watching, you're having a great start to your Thursday. Last night, the Grizzlies' top seven rotation players were not playing in the Grizzlies' preseason game, but perhaps was it the most convincing performance or the most enjoyable performance of the Grizzlies' preseason so far? We'll detail that. Plus, Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, I'm going to detail if their position battle playing out this year is the way that we hope it works out, the way it most likely will work out. We'll look at that, and we'll look at all this and much more on today's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you once again for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself right here below at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts, that's where we will be. You can also now find the show, obviously, on YouTube, but we ask when you listen to the show on the via podcast, listen, review, subscribe, let us know what you think. We always want to make sure we're providing content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. But if you're watching on YouTube, click that subscribe button below. It lets us know you enjoy the show, lets others be able to find the show, and just makes the show experience best for all. My name is Sean Coleman, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, have been covering the Grizzlies now for 4 years over at Grizzly Bear Blues, and of course, your host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. And we can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. But if this is your first listen, make sure that you make the Locked On NBA podcast your second listen of the day. So many different things going on right now. Obviously, the news changing every day with Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and others. We're less than a week away from the start of the season, but many narratives are out there that constantly are providing, that constantly are giving updates. So make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast for the latest. But last night, the Grizzlies play against the Indiana Pacers, and they lose 109 to 107. But I put it on Twitter, the best indication that last night went better than expected, with the Grizzlies sitting seven and basically seven or eight of their main rotation players last night. None of the Grizzlies' main contributors played last night, or at least that will be the main contributors going into the season. But the Grizzlies lost 109-107. But the fact that the Grizzlies made an Eastern Conference playoff hopeful, who were playing the majority of their starters, the fact that basically the Grizzlies C team made that the Indiana Pacers have to take a timeout to draw up a last-second play to win the game, that should indicate to you how successful last night was. And who stood out? It was the person that we hoped would stand out more than anyone, and that was Zaire Williams. Now, starting off the game, Zaire Williams certainly struggled. It looked like that his shot was not going to fall. One of the things that certainly did stand out in terms of a clear area of need for Zaire Williams to continue to work on, and this continued throughout the game, was his ability to get to the rim. You have to admire Zaire Williams' ability to want to get to the rim, and he certainly can get to the rim. Those are two encouraging things, but Miles Turner was not having any of it last night. He was altering or denying Zaire Williams' shot all night. Now, obviously, Miles Turner is one of the best rim protectors in the league, but it does highlight one area of improvement that if Zaire Williams can continue to adjust, and again, it's just the preseason. He hasn't even stepped foot on a court yet for his first regular season game in the NBA, but we do have a clear area where Zaire Williams can certainly improve. But if there's any indication that he certainly can improve in that area, you simply need to watch the rest of the game. After what seemed like it was going to be another disappointing performance, once Zaire Williams went to the bench after initially starting the game, when he came back in the second quarter, there were stretches of the second quarter, even with the Indiana Pacers having players like Chris Duarte, Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, and others on the court with him, there were times where Zaire Williams was the best player on the court, making his own threes. He showed shot creation. He showed clear intent, good intent with his ball movement as well as with his ball handling. He was getting into the lane, creating his own shot from three, playing decent defense. Everything that we had hoped, everything that really stood out to the Grizzlies as being the potential with Zaire Williams stood out. And what was so encouraging is that after the game last Saturday against the Hawks, where it was a setup where you had hoped Zaire Williams would show he was one of the better players on the court, he struggled. In last night's game to start out the game, you had hoped he would get off to a great start. He struggled. But the fact that he came back from sitting on the bench for a few minutes and came in, and I won't say dominated, but clearly flashed his potential, both offensively and defensively, the shot creation, the playmaking, the ball handling, the defense, the ability to be a difference maker when he was on the court, all of that flashed in the second quarter. And it continued into the second half, including him making the game-tying shot before the Pacers were able to take the lead. So yes, there certainly were things last night where there clearly are needed area of continued improvement for Zaire Williams. His ability to get to the rim, his overall defense, those things stood out, but that was expected. But the shot creation, the playmaking, the overall ability to do what he could do with the basketball in his hands, which is pretty incredible for his size at times, all that was on display, and it was great to see in the setup that the Grizzlies had with several of their main contributors on the bench. So if you wanted a game, if you wanted a performance to come away after watching it and feel like, okay, this is why the Grizzlies went after Zaire Williams at pick 10 in the 2021 draft, the second quarter of last night's game was the reason why. But it wasn't just Zaire Williams that stood out. Santi Aldama also stood out once again. 9 points and 11 rebounds. Two things that stood out about Aldama: his overall ability to handle the basketball, the fluidity, the nuance that he has with handling the basketball, it certainly has improved from the summer league. There clearly is an advanced feel of how to handle the basketball for a player his size. That's one of the reasons why the Grizzlies went after him. But once again, it's also his rebounding ability. 11 rebounds in 26 minutes. He seems like if he, you know, in a year or two, is going to be working himself into a 20-minute-a-night, you know, role, he certainly seems like a clear bet for a double-double. His rebounding prowess is certainly impressive so far in his young NBA career. But perhaps the player who was most impressive last night was Sam Merrill. 8 of 13 from 3, 30 points. He absolutely was lights out for most of the game. And the reason why that stands out is because, of course, we also have a roster crunch decision coming up between Sam Merrill, and we thought it would be between Sam Merrill and Chris Dunn. But let's also be honest. I feel like I've been an advocate for the idea of Jarrett Culver being on this team not only this year, but obviously next year as well. I felt that there was clear talent that Jarrett Culver has, and I still think it's there, especially defensively. But two straight games now, and we've seen Zaire Williams step up. We've seen Sam Merrill step up and impressively step up in both of their cases. You've not seen the same thing with Jarrett Culver. It was an absolute disaster for most of the time that Jarrett Culver had ball handling duties last night, which the Grizzlies certainly wanted to take a look at. So when it comes to the Grizzlies and making this roster decision, Chris Dunn has been out much of the preseason with a dental procedure. I feel that with Sam Merrill's performance last night and how much preference Taylor Jenkins puts on shooting, the Grizzlies have every reason to keep Sam Merrill. And I do think that in terms of Jarrett Culver or Chris Dunn, it makes sense to keep Jarrett Culver as well. Perhaps he still does blossom, but he also at least has enough of intrigue left, I think, to still be able to use his nearly $8 million in salary this year in a potential trade. So the trade utilization is, you know, I mentioned earlier this offseason, Chris Harrington and others mentioned last night. When it comes to Sam Merrill, has clearly made this a decision now that's not just between two people, him and Chris Dunn. It's between him, Culver, and Dunn for the final two rotation spots. I think that in terms of Merrill shooting, Culver's potential, if you feel there is any, but also just because Culver probably is a better trade piece, you've already let, you know, players like Rajon Rondo walk. It doesn't really hurt the Grizzlies to let Chris Dunn walk, especially if they feel comfortable with the playmaking ability of their roster. But I do think that overall, Sam Merrill certainly made the case for himself to make the roster. And with how much preference Taylor Jenkins puts on three-point shooting, they have every reason to keep him. So Zaire Williams stepping up and performing better than anybody expected last night. And Sam Merrill, likely, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, it seems, locking himself up in a rotation spot. Those were the big takeaways. And that's what you wanted in this type of setup for the Grizzlies. You wanted for young players to step up and make a case for themselves. Make it a hard decision when it comes to, hey, we're going to have to get Zaire in the rotation somehow. Hey, we're going to have to keep Merrill now, regardless of who we cut. That's exactly what you want from these type of games, and that's exactly how this young depth for the Grizzlies responded. So a great performance overall. But two of the other players who played last night were Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark. And no, neither one of them really stood out. They certainly will have a role on this team. But what will that role look like for both players? And who emerges as being the preference for this year and beyond? We'll discuss that in just a second. But I can tell you this, the weather outside is starting to cool a bit, which is something we certainly all want to see. But when it comes to the days that remain where heat is certainly going to be on the rise, you know, here in the Mid-South, you never know when it's going to remain hot. But I can tell you this, while many of us love the idea of it being hot, you know, the warm weather being outside, for some of us, that means excessive sweating. And if that's the case for you, I have something that certainly can help you out. That's Sweat Block Wipes. Doctor recommended and doctor created. It can work up to 7 days and has a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, it's a bestseller on Amazon with over 13,000 reviews, and right now is the number one seller in the antiperspirant category. Wear what you want to wear again with your little source of confidence. It should be a part of anybody's toiletry bag. You can find it at CVS as well as Amazon. But if you go to sweatblock.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order from Sweat Block. Make Sweat Block a part of your day today and get your confidence back wearing what you want to wear in the summer. Thanks so much for making the Locked On Grizzlies podcast your first listen of the day. But might I suggest the Locked On Dodgers or Locked On Giants podcast? Game 5 of the NLDS, the last division series that needs to be determined, is tonight. Though both of them have to, whoever wins, they're going to wind up having to face the Atlanta Braves. I feel sorry for either one of them. Go Braves, by the way. But when it comes to tonight, you've got every reason to listen to the Locked On Dodgers or Locked On Giants podcast. But that's the great thing. Besides Locked On Grizzlies being your first listen of the day, make your favorite NFL team show, your favorite college football team show, or your favorite Major League Baseball team show your second listen of the day. Make sure to check out the Locked On Giants or Locked On Dodgers podcast before tonight's huge Game 5 of the NLDS. So along with many of the different players who have stepped up this preseason, we continue to see a few postseason battles. We've talked about Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton. It looks like that their opportunity is going to be less of a battle, less of a platoon, and they're more going to be utilized together with Dylan Brooks being out to start the season. We just talked about the end of the roster battle between Sam Merrill, Jarrett Culver, and Chris Dunn, where Sam Merrill has clearly made his case for him to be a part of the roster, and I feel it makes sense for him certainly to be. But perhaps the most intriguing position battle of all of this is Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, two bigs who certainly at different times have shown just how valuable they can be. But in the case of Brandon Clark, you've also seen, unfortunately, him take a bit of a step back due to injury and what have you. And last year, he certainly was not as effective. He certainly did not build off of his rookie campaign. But that's what stands out as the biggest question for me. When it comes to Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, we've seen them both be very, very beneficial NBA talents. But which player really stood out as being the most versatile, the easiest to utilize for winning basketball from their rookie years? Is it Brandon Clark or is it Xavier Tillman? If we go back to Brandon Clark's rookie year, where obviously we could say that was the peak of him as an NBA player so far, we're talking about a player who I've said many times should have been NBA Rookie of the Year. One of the most efficient shooting seasons in the history of the NBA for a rookie, and also, in my opinion, one of the most advantageous bench pieces, one of the biggest difference makers off any bench in the NBA during the 1920 season. That was Brandon Clark. What Xavier Tillman his rookie year was someone even less than 20 games into his career, he was a plug-and-play option. When Jonas Valanciunas was out in January, Xavier Tillman stepped right in and was a huge reason why the Grizzlies, for instance, pulled off back-to-back wins against the 76ers and the Suns, despite missing some of their best talents. He also, as a rookie, speaking of Xavier Tillman, had one of the highest net ratings for an individual. He led all rookies last year of all rookies who had played 50 or more games, and in those games averaged 15 or more minutes, Xavier Tillman had the highest true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. Plus, his defense showed to be very effective as well. A good team defender, can rebound, can block, could get out on the perimeter. We saw him create steal opportunities against names such as D'Angelo Russell and Chris Paul. So Xavier Tillman showed how versatile he could be as both an offensive contributor and a defender. So which version of, at their best, who's more valuable? Is it Brandon Clark or is it Xavier Tillman? Well, in my opinion, I think it depends on what perspective you look at. I have said that I feel when you compare ceilings, at his ceiling, Brandon Clark is more valuable, in my opinion, than Xavier Tillman. But that's because I feel at his peak, Brandon Clark is one of the biggest advantage pieces in the NBA off the bench. If Brandon Clark can show he's healthy, and it looks like that he's got a bit more of the spring in his legs than he had his rookie year compared to last year, but if you could get that version of Brandon Clark back that we saw his rookie year, he's a big advantage off the bench against other teams' second units, and that is something that could really help this Grizzlies bench get back to clearly being one of, if not the best bench in the NBA, which is a development that this team really does need for them to be able to make the playoffs this year. So in terms of them being at their peaks, I do think that Brandon Clark, at his best, and he feels he's the best version of himself right now, I feel he could be the most advantageous. But is he the most versatile? I think that actually is Xavier Tillman for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think Xavier Tillman is someone that's going to more consistently contribute to winning because I think he's a more natural fit with the Grizzlies' best players by playing at the five with Jaren at the four or subbing in to play at the five and still having Ja or Melton or Bain or Brooks out there on the four. One of the reasons why is because Xavier Tillman, I feel, has a higher floor than Brandon Clark. He's more steady. In other words, he is going to add more value. He's going to be a more consistent source of positive value. And I also feel that what Xavier Tillman does best, his skill set, in terms of him being one of the best passers, one of the best big man passers that has come in the NBA through the draft over the past 5 years, and that his shooting has improved, I think that what Taylor Jenkins wants in one of his primary big men, I think that Xavier Tillman's skill set more aligns with that than Brandon Clark. So in other words, it depends on what perspective you're looking at as to which, to either Brandon Clark or Xavier Tillman is the preference. But I also think that because you can make either Brandon Clark or Xavier Tillman the preference in different ways, that allows for them to have roles on this team. But what exactly are those roles going to look like? How, even with Dylan Brooks coming back, could the Grizzlies find roles? And why do they need to ensure they do find roles for both Tillman and Clark? I'll explain that in just a moment. But you could bet on this. Both Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark are certainly valuable NBA talents. But I could also tell you that if you enjoy betting and wagering on sports, the number one place for you to go to enjoy that is betonline.ag. With football back, a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source of everything football out there. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right up to your favorite casino games, don't wait to take advantage. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to enjoy betting and wagering on sports. Visit BetOnline.ag today. An exciting show on tomorrow's Locked On Grizzlies podcast. From the Daily Memphian, we are going to welcome Grizzlies beat writer Drew Hill to the show for the first of a few season previews with some of our favorite folks in the Memphis media. Drew Hill, always very insightful, but very honest takes on the Grizzlies. Always look forward to talking with him He'll be joining us for the first of our season previews on tomorrow's Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark. Now, at the end of the day, over this year, I do think that, you know, at the end of this year, we are going to have a clear understanding as to whether it's either Xavier Tillman or Brandon Clark who were clearly going to be a part of this team's plans for the future in terms of remaining in Memphis past next summer and being a rotation player. I think the most likely scenario is that not only are we going to have a clear understanding as to whether it's Clark or it's Tillman, but that really is the best way for it to work out. Not it being both, but it being Clark or Tillman. And in my opinion, due to the reasons that I mentioned, because he contributes, I think, more consistently to winning, because he's a bit more trustworthy with the steadiness, with the consistency of his high floor, but also can show a high ceiling, and because his skill sets align more in terms of defense, passing, shooting improvement with what Taylor Jenkins wants to do, I feel right now the better bet for that is Xavier Tillman. But as I mentioned, I think Brandon Clark could be a very advantageous piece for the Grizzlies. So for that reason, I do think that even with Dylan Brooks, when he does come back, there are roles that allow for both Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman could be utilized. If the Grizzlies find themselves in a defensive game where it's more half court, it's a bit more slow paced, it's a bit more dependent on passing, shooting, defense, what have you, Xavier Tillman probably steps up as the third big. But if the Grizzlies are in a game where they're getting out on the run, their athleticism, keeping the pace up high is what matters, Brandon Clark has the ability to come into the game. I do feel that you can fit both of these players into a 10 to 15 minute slot each night, because not only can you use one in one type of game flow and the other in the other type, but if you use both, it not only allows for you to keep Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams fresh because they're playing less overall minutes, but it also, in the case of Jaren Jackson Jr. especially, lowers the risk of injury because you're not stretching him playing so much. If the Grizzlies want to take advantage of their depth that they did last year, they have health on their side this year. Why not take full advantage of it? With the extra days that are there in the schedule and the fact that they have both Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, who could easily play 15 minutes a night each and the Grizzlies, you know, be fine with their production, why not commit to that and reap the benefits of it? Again, you could use Xavier Tillman in certain situations, and you could use Brandon Clark in certain situations, and they could be an advantage in those situations. Plus, you get the ability to rest both Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams. But of course, there's also the X factor that that is Kyle Anderson, and the fact that not only is he likely going to come off the bench this year, but at his best, he plays at the four. And in my opinion, and it seems like the opinion of others, perhaps the best closing lineup for the Grizzlies would be De'Anthony Melton with Ja, along with Dylan, Kyle, and Jared, eventually, that being the closing unit for the Grizzlies. If that's the case, you've got Steven Adams on the bench. Behind him, you've got Xavier Tillman, and then you've got Brandon Clark, or vice versa. So yes, while there certainly is reason, and it certainly could be to the Grizzlies' advantage for them to find roles for both Clark and Tillman, I do think that when they're fully healthy, while they can make it work, at some point in time, that doesn't become the preference. The preference is to play winning basketball. And if Dylan Brooks and others are playing 30 minutes a night, Kyle Anderson is working his way into high leverage and closing minutes, that's going to dwindle down the overall ability to play both Tillman and Clark in a significant role. And that's where it becomes a bit of a good dilemma for the Grizzlies. Because, yes, it's great to have all these depth pieces, but winning is the key, especially coming off last year. And if that means significant minutes, obviously, for Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams, and Kyle Anderson, that really leaves only one significant role for either Tillman or Clark. And while you can get by for much of the regular season keeping them in both in relevant roles, at some point, just like they did down the stretch last year, the Grizzlies are going to have to commit to one or the other. But the thing that comes away from that is this, is that one thing that I hope does not happen, especially in the case of Brandon Clark, because we already saw it happen, is I don't want for his value as a player to potentially be tanked if the Grizzlies decide to go with Tillman as basically that fourth big with Kyle Anderson playing a lot of the four when he's in the game. And I think Tillman probably makes sense because he's the more natural fit at the five than Clark, going along with the reasons I already mentioned that he can play winning basketball. But what comes away from that that is a bit of a negative is that it is if Brandon Clark falls out of the rotation, well, then you're basically for the second straight season admitting that Brandon Clark cannot be a part of your rotation, even though you probably don't have one of the top 10 collections of talent in the NBA. What that does is it lessens Brandon Clark's trade value. And for a front office that is so aware, so good at not only finding value, but also gaining value through their trades, getting good returns for the players that they trade, I just don't think that it makes a lot of sense. It would go against how the Grizzlies front office operates for them to, for the second straight season, do something that would lower the value of Brandon Clark. Now, it may just naturally happen. They may just not have a choice. But something that stood out to me from Media Day is that Zach Kleiman mentioned, we're playing with a sense of urgency. We are playing to win, but we're also keeping an eye on how situations develop elsewhere, that if it leads to a trade or it leads to conversations, we're certainly open to exploring what's out there. So if the idea is that basically the Grizzlies know that, you know, they know the role for Jaren Jackson Jr. They know the role for Steven Adams. When it comes down to Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, and Xavier Tillman, especially Kyle Anderson and Brandon Clark, with the fact that Kyle Anderson is on an expiring contract, the fact that after this year, Brandon Clark will only have 1 year left with Memphis, I do feel that they emerge as two of perhaps the most likely trade candidates for the Grizzlies in this season. That's correct. In this season, I think that it, though it would be a surprise, you potentially could see Kyle Anderson or Brandon Clark moved in a consolidation type deal to bring in another talent that the Grizzlies might like. This is especially true if the season may not be going the way the Grizzlies want to, if for some reason they're not in as good of a spot for the playoffs as many anticipate they will be, you could likely see Kyle Anderson or Brandon Clark moved on from. So it's a great situation to have. It's not a bad thing at all to have so many talents that you can utilize in different ways. And I give Taylor Jenkins credit. He's shown a very good ability to find different ways to use different talents. So I do feel that even with Dylan Brooks coming back, Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark both will have roles on this team. But at some point in time, you have to commit to winning. You have to play your best players the most minutes. Last year, the Grizzlies did that to make the playoffs. Brandon Clark fell on the rotation. This year, you could easily see the same thing happen again. The only thing that I don't want to happen, though, is Brandon Clark's trade value, if he's the guy who falls out of the rotation, or if it's vice versa, if Brandon Clark just winds up opening up or leveling up to a new level of production unexpected, I don't want Xavier Tillman to follow the rotation as well. But at some point in time, that becomes a potential occurrence when the Grizzlies fully commit to making their run to the playoffs. And if that's the case, the only thing you don't want to see is Clark's or Anderson's or someone's trade value take a big hit as a result. But at the end of the day, that's why we trust this team, right? That's why this front office has gained the benefit of the doubt. They created this situation for these players to work it out, for the play of these players to determine how this situation will work itself out. But the fact that Zach Kleiman said on Media Day, there's a bigger sense of urgency. There is a clear path in place for the Grizzlies, maybe even earlier than some expect, for them to make moves when they need to make the most of their situation, you can bet that not only are the Grizzlies going to do everything that they can to have this situation work itself out so that they clearly know who should be a part of their future, they're also going to make sure that they do it in a way to where all these players retain value. And if a player such as Clark, if his long-term future is not meant to be with the Grizzlies in a role as a core player of their future, then the Grizzlies are going to make sure they explore every opportunity to maximize his value in a trade to bring back an upgrade that clearly is going to be a part of their future. So it's certainly going to be an interesting situation to watch. And I don't think that it's a battle that's going to be the result of it, or there's not going to be a clear winner, if you will, of this battle anytime soon. And that's fine. That means that both of them are in the rotation, and that means that Taylor Jenkins can utilize both Tillman and Clark to the best of their abilities. It'll certainly be one of the more interesting narratives to watch this season, especially when the Grizzlies are at full health. And the other thing to remember is this, is that while it's ideal, there's a good chance that at some point in time, the Grizzlies are going to be without another player for an extended stretch due to injury. And if that's the case, you then again have the ability to have both Tillman and Clark playing significant minutes. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You made Locked On Grizzlies your first listen, but I bet that if you're a diehard basketball fan, you have a fantasy basketball draft that you can enjoy. Why not check out the number one fantasy basketball source out there in Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy NBA. I was able to be with him yesterday on a telethon for the Locked On NBA fantasy podcast. And I talked for several minutes about some of the situations out there with the Grizzlies. Make sure to check that out, but make sure to check out his podcast daily for the latest on the best minds when it comes to fantasy NBA. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. Make sure you listen, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And down below here on YouTube, hit subscribe as well. We're over 100 subscribers. Thank you so much for your support and glad you're enjoying the show. Don't forget tomorrow, Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian will be with us to discuss the Grizzlies season preview, the first of a few with some of my favorite folks from the Memphis media. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure being with you. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.